My dear brothers and sisters, it's once again good to be home. It's always nice to have a break, but home is home, and I missed all of you greatly. You may not say the same thing about me, but I missed all of you greatly. This opportunity that I had in these last 20 days, or a little more than 20 days, the first part of my trip, as you know, we went with 32 other youth. We were 44 total to World Youth Day, and I'll speak a little bit about it in the homily today. But it truly was, it's truly an event that is so vast and such a blessing that it really is hard to put into words the whole experience of it, it was a blessing to just be part of it. And then the last part of my trip, I had the opportunity to just take some rest, which was also very refreshing and very helpful to coming home and picking up the mission once again. So you're stuck with me once again. What a blessing. Be happy. Be happy. Okay, so my dear brothers and sisters, we hear this morning this gospel. Once again, it's a gospel that is proclaimed very often during the year. And that's because it is a gospel that really the church wants to call our attention to it as for multiple reasons, because it is first and foremost because it is the primacy of Peter. It's where we get our understanding of the papacy and of the church, but also because of the question of knowing who Christ is, not just theoretically, but also this question of who do people say that I am. Is not a question that Jesus is just putting to his apostles at the time that he's speaking to, but it is a question that begs an answer from us. But before diving into that, I want to give this gospel some context so that we understand the vastness of what's happening. Now, this part of the gospel gives a lot of detail, and a lot of the gospel gives detail, but when it gives detail, like geographical detail, it's very important because it's meant to say something to the people of that time and to the people of us today. And so the gospel begins by saying, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, now we have to understand where Caesarea Philippi was. Caesarea Philippi is 25 miles away from Galilee. Galilee is where Jesus is doing all of his miracles and all of his works. So if Jesus is doing all of his works in Galilee, it's kind of pivotal and important as to ask ourselves, well, why would he go 25 miles away from where he's doing most of his work, 98% of his work? Well, there's an important reason for that. So at the time of Jesus, Caesarea Philippi, and still today you can go and see Caesarea Philippi today, is the pagan center of worship of the time of Jesus. Okay, and that's because there is a vast cave in Caesarea Philippi. Cave wouldn't, I don't think cave really properly describes it. It's a deep hole, I guess you could say, profound hole, if you want to say that. And so for the people of the people of the time of Jesus, with their understanding, that was where that hole went to infinity, if I want to describe it that way. So and it was the place where the pagans worshiped the god Pan. Okay, now why is all of this important? Because Jesus goes and has this discussion about Peter as the rock and the church in a very important in a kind of pagan center of the time. And so Jesus is demonstrating the power of heaven, the power of the church. And so as Jesus is going to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, he asks this question because he's trying to ask, he's trying, not because he doesn't know who he is, but he's trying to see what are people saying. And so he asks the question, what do people say about me? And the disciples' answers say, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah. Now, we have to understand that the Jewish people did not believe in reincarnation. So they're not saying that we believe you're in a reincarnation of Jeremiah, you're a reincarnation of Elijah, or of a prophet. This is not what they're saying, because they didn't believe in reincarnation. But what they're saying is that some are saying that you are carrying on the work of Elijah. You're carrying on the work of Jeremiah. You're carrying on the work of the prophets. And what was the work of Elijah? What was the work of Jeremiah? What was the work of the prophets? Was to get the people ready for the coming of the Messiah, for Christ's coming. Now, what people are saying is, what the apostles are hearing that people are saying is that, yeah, we're not going to go as far to say as you're the Messiah. But we will go far to say, because we've seen miracles and we've seen things, that you are like one of the prophets who is preparing the way for the Lord. And then Jesus takes the question and turns it on his head, and he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter, who has... Peter is always an interesting figure in Scripture, and he's a figure I'm always able very much to relate to, because Peter has moments of clarity, or I wouldn't say it was clarity, more of moments of being guided by the Holy Spirit. And moments of not being guided by the Holy Spirit. He's a figure that is very easily relatable, because I think we would find all of ourselves in that camp. We have moments in our faith life. We have moments where we see God pretty clearly and we're good. And we have moments, if we're really honest, we have moments where maybe we're just not so sure. And that's okay, because that's where Peter is. But in this moment, Peter, as the head of the apostles, answers for the apostles, and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, you are the Messiah. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, this question of who do you say that I am, when we hear that question, do we respond the same way? I.e., do we know who Christ is? Now, see, the danger is that we make a lot of presumptions in the Catholic Church when it comes to faith, and when it comes to our understanding of knowing who Christ is, because our presumption is, well, if I'm coming to Mass regularly, pretty regularly, hit or miss regularly, once a month regularly. You know, I wouldn't want to go to church too much. Once a Sunday, once a month is just enough. We could kind of think, I know the answer to that question. But my dear brothers and sisters, this question, who do you say that I am, requires a very important premise. That is, that we know who Christ is personally. Now I'm going to ask you a question that sounds very, what our Catholic ears will call Protestant, and what what our Protestant ears will jump up and down with. But this: do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Maybe. I hope so. I hope so, because a personal relationship with Christ is not just that we check the box of the Sunday obligation. That's a part of a personal relationship with Christ. A personal relationship with Christ is not just that we give I'm being generous with five. But not that we just give God 2 minutes a day. But to have a personal relationship with Christ is that we truly are able to say who Christ is for us in our life, what Christ has done in our life, where Christ is calling us in our life. And my dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to dare to say that a lot of the things we do in life, we do maybe with God. Maybe we take into account God. Because frankly, as I've said many times, we live in a society which is very busy. And a lot of times, even too busy for God. And so we can't know who Christ is because we don't have time for Christ. We just say, well, Father, I'm listening to this darn long homily. Haven't I earned learning about Christ? I don't know. I don't know how many of you are listening to me and how many of you are looking out the window on the right and left of me and how many of you are looking at the painting and how many of you are thinking about the shopping list that you have to go because, Father, I got to get to Safeway by 9 a.m. So hurry it up and I've got to go. Let me see. I got to get detergent first. This is what's going through your mind. Then I got to get something for dinner tonight. Then I got to get the kids to soccer. Then I got to get the other kid to soccer. Then I got to get ready for Sunday. It's Sunday, so I got to make sure the kids have all the homework done. So I better ask my kids whether they've done their homework so that we don't end up in the Sunday night screaming match because they procrastinated all of their homework to Sunday. Our minds are in a million different places. So I don't know how many of you are listening to me. Because I know it's very easy to get distracted. But Christ wants a relationship with you. But that relationship takes work from us. We have to have a desire for that relationship. So that like Peter, we can say, you are the Christ. So that like Peter, we can say we know, so that if somebody asks us, who is Christ, we can answer that question. That is the mission that all of us face. That is the mission that we have as parents. To transmit who Christ is to our kids. That is our mission. Now, I don't mean being able to transmit some deep theoretical understanding of who God is. That's not what you have to pass to your kids. But what we have to pass to the next generation is the joy of who Christ is. And if your kids don't see it in you, don't expect them to have it. Because magically we'll get to their when they're 18 years old and maybe they go away from the church and we go, what happened? Now this is not in every case. This is not in every case. A lot of times we did our best and still it doesn't always take. But my dear brothers and sisters, our kids are going to imitate what they see in us. And if they see us saying God is important but not living it, then God will not be important for them later. And so that I say that because we're going to begin now in September this new catechetical year, and many of you will present your children for religious education, and many of you will present your children for sacramental to prepare them for the sacraments. And you know that here in the parish, we are very much pushing the importance of family catechesis, is that the primary educator of your children is you. It's not me. It's not my job to prepare your kids for the sacraments. It's not my job to pass faith to your children. That's not my job. That's not the church's job. That is your job. We are here to help you. Help you, not do it for you. Now, what do I mean by that? Again, I have to pass these big ideas on to our kids. No, you have to pass faith. Give your kids the gift of faith. Give your kids the gift of prayer. Teach them to put God first, and you can help them to, you can teach them faith in very simple, rudimentary ways. You don't have to have a theological degree to pass faith to your children. You need one thing. You need a knowledge of who Christ is. If you don't know who Christ is in your life, your kids will not know who Christ is in their life because your kids are looking at you. And so I hope that that invigorates us to find out who Christ is for ourselves, to always answer that question for ourselves, to always desire to put God first, because God, and this is why, my dear brothers and sisters, God gives us the church. Well, this was one of the beautiful things about World Youth Day was the meeting with the Holy Father, the vigil and the mass. I mean, there was 1.5 million people at that. Youth, 1.5 million youth. With such a fire under them. And now those youth have gone back to their parishes. And woe to us if we snuff the fire that they received. Woe to us if we do not continue to help them grow in the faith. As parents, as catechists, as priests, as deacons, it is our mission to help the next generation. So my dear brothers and sisters, today as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that we may truly be able to answer the question, who do you say that I am? Let us stand and profess our faith.